Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here today. For the last 3 years, I haven't been able to come, and actually, I was so busy, and also my health was not very good, and that's why I couldn't come. But often I thought of you all, and I used to get regular reports on how things are developing here. And now that finally I managed to come, although it's a very short visit, but I feel very happy to be in touch with you all again. I see the need for being in touch. Often, due to pressure, due to other responsibilities, we cannot make ourselves so much available. But with the passing of time, as our responsibilities are increasing, I am realizing the need to be available to the devotees. Because we can see that the devotees look up to the association of other devotees. And spiritual life is very rare. That's why when one gets to get an opportunity to become involved, become engaged in spiritual life, one must take it up very, very seriously. Because this is the most important thing in our life. We got a very wonderful opportunity by getting the human form of life. There are various types of living entities. We can see the whole world is filled with living entities. The entire universe is filled with living entities. But it is only when one gets a human form, one actually gets an opportunity to take to spiritual life. Just consider, if you had any other type of body which is below human form, then could you take to Krishna consciousness? Could you question if God is there? Can a monkey question if there is God? Can a dog question? But human beings can. This is a very, very rare opportunity for the human beings. In the Vedic scriptures, that's why it has been described, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you got the human form of life, you must inquire about your spiritual identity. Generally, the animal life is involved with eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The animals simply are concerned about these four activities. They think that these are the most important business. To eat, to sleep, to mate, and to defend themselves from danger. But the Vedas are saying that human life is not meant for that purpose, that kind of purpose, that kind of activities. Human life is meant for a higher purpose. What is the higher purpose? The higher purpose is Brahma Jigyasa. Brahma Jigyasa means the question about our spiritual identity. Who am I? The Brahma Jigyasa begins from there. Who am I? Generally, people think that they are their bodies. But the Brahma Jigyasa leads us to understand that no, we are not this body. That's the Brahma Jigyasa. I'm not this body. I am something that is beyond this body. I am somebody who makes this body alive. Because of me being in this body is alive. And when I leave this body, what will happen? This body will become dead. To begin with, this body is made of what? This body is made of dead matter. Matter is dead, just like this instrument, harmonium, this microphone, this recorder, this floor, this walls, this room. They're made of what? Matter. And matter means no consciousness. Don't we say dead matter? Dead matter. So matter is dead. Our body is made of what? Our body is made of also matter. So this body made of matter is a dead body. But is it a dead body? No. My body is not a dead body. Your body is not a dead body. Your bodies are alive. Now, what causes this body to be alive? That is the beginning of Brahma Jigyasa. The question, why this body is alive? This body is made of matter. But why this body is alive? Why this body is conscious? Now, if we begin that, if we inquire, if we sincerely question, then what we will naturally want? We will want to have the answer. We will want to have the answer. Now, if you want to know something, what do you do? If I want to know something, say if I want to know Dutch, what shall I do? I should go to a person who knows Dutch and ask him, can you please teach me Dutch? So, when we want to know something, then we must approach a person who has the knowledge about that subject. So this is the subject, Brahma Jigyasa, the spiritual reality. The question is, I am thinking that I am this body, but this body is made of dead matter. Now, can you please tell me why this dead body is functioning in a way which other dead matter doesn't function? So if the person has the answer, if a person knows the answer, what will he say? He will give a simple answer that because you are a spirit soul. And because you are present in the body, that's why the body is alive. These are the very basic inquiry and very basic answers. I'm sure you have heard this many, many times, but still I have to speak about it. Just to remind you that this is our business. This is your business. Because although we know that we are not this body, but still we get caught up with all kinds of affairs relating to the body. We are also concerned with eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Living entities are naturally inclined towards that, but one must transcend that. And how to transcend that platform, that is why we need the proper guidance. Somebody who can guide us in that path that will lead us beyond this platform of animal activities. So let us go back to that original point. When we question why this body is alive. Now clinically or medically we can make a question, they can get an answer. The body is alive because so many organs are functioning in the body. The heart is pumping blood. Lungs is breathing. Stomach is digesting. Kidney is filtering. All kinds of activities are going on in the body. That's why the body is alive. But then the question comes, why these activities are going on? These activities are not going on in anywhere else. To make that kind of arrangement, it needs much complex arrangements. Like to filter blood, that kidney does. A small little organ is filtering, you know how much blood? 250 gallons of blood every day. It's purifying the blood. And it's purifying in such a systematic way. All the impurities are going out and the blood, the pure blood, is just kept in one way. And the impurities are going out, and that is going out in the form of the urine. What is the urine? Urine is the impurities from the blood, which the kidney has purified. The heart is pumping the blood. What is blood actually? Blood is the carrier of the life energy. Blood is carrying the life energy. And what is blood doing? The blood is supplying the life energy through the arteries. And then, by supplying the energy, the blood is becoming empty of that energy. The carrier now has become empty. So it comes back again to the heart. Arteries are pumping the blood throughout, and the veins are bringing the blood back to the heart. Who studied medicine here? You studied medicine. Very good. So, isn't it? Right? Okay. So, the blood is... scientifically, we are understanding that. Biology or medical science is giving us the information. The blood is carrying the energy, life energy throughout the body. And then the blood is coming back into the region of the heart. Then the blood is getting surcharged with the life energy. Who is surcharging the blood with life energy? Somebody must be doing something in the heart. Who is doing that? Who is making all that arrangement? The soul. It is because of the presence of the soul that all these things are happening. Another thing is happening, that oxygen is surcharging the blood. And the blood is carrying the oxygen. Therefore, for us, oxygen is so vital, so important. Then it is coming back. And in the process, the blood is getting dirty. And as I said, that dirt is filtered out of the blood by the kidney. Then there is so many other organs, like the food is going there in the stomach. So this way, the body is like a machine. What does the machine do? To run a machine, what do you need? You need fuel. And is there any mechanic here? I'm sure these are the common understanding. I'm sure you all know that. Like you want to, you are running the car. How is the car running? You have to put oil. You have to put fuel in it. And then what happens to the fuel? You put the fuel, then it goes to the it goes to the piston. And there the ignition takes place. The carburetor causes the ignition, the fire. And comes a mixture of air, right? The fuel is burning and the energy is generated, which is making the piston go up and down in the cylinder. And that up and down movement is connected to a shaft. And that shaft is making the wheel, the gears move. And that is making the car wheels move. So fuel, oxygen, and burning of that. Right? Now the same thing is happening in our body. Fuel is the food. And we are taking oxygen. When you are breathing, what you are taking? We are taking oxygen. That oxygen is causing the fuel to burn. And when the fuel burns, what happens? When the fuel burns, carbon dioxide. So what are you giving out? Carbon dioxide. So your body is actually a machine, but more complex machine. No machine. A very sophisticated machine, like an aeroplane engine. It's a very sophisticated machine. It is operating on the same principle, but the that machine, the aircraft, doesn't have a kidney, doesn't have a lungs, what to speak of a heart, and what to speak of a spirit soul. So all these operations are going on. And now you consider, like, what is the price of an aircraft? A Boeing 747, now it's even better. Airbus 380. These are all very, how much you pay for that? Almost $1 billion. So you pay so much money for an aircraft. Now this body is so many times more complex. Can you imagine what's the price of this body? And this body we got free. Did you pay any price? Your mother paid the price for that. She had to carry you for so long, feed you for so long in the womb, and undergo so much pain. But we didn't pay anything. We got it free. Such a complex, such a wonderful machine this body is. Now what should we do with this body? If you get a very nice machine, if you get a very nice car, what do you do? Do you squander it? Do you just misuse it? Or do you take care of it? Because you know the value and you know the utility of that car. So similarly, we must recognize the importance of this body. And we should not use this body for something which is completely useless. So what should you do with this body? You know what is the purpose of this body? This purpose of this human body is to liberate us from the material bondage. This is the only opportunity. There are 8,400,000 species of life. Out of that, only 400,000 are human beings. So these 400,000 bodies are actually providing us with the opportunity to become free from the bondage of matter. No other body will provide us with this opportunity. Now what should we do with this body? Should we just use this body for animal purpose, animal propensities? That is eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and watching football. No. This body has a very, very special purpose. That purpose is to understand the spirit soul. That is where we begin. That I am not this body, I am a soul. That is the first step of understanding. Then we understand that the soul is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the soul has a relationship with God. We recognize ourselves as the soul, and we recognize that the soul is a part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. We are souls, and there is one soul from whom all these spirit souls have come. Now at least we recognize that I am a spirit soul and there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now how can we establish our relationship with Him? Now there also comes a question that what is the relationship between the part and the whole? Does the part have a relationship with the whole? The part means part is a part, meaning it is a part of a whole. Right? It's a part of a whole. So, what is the relationship between the part and the whole? There must be a relationship. Right? Like for example, this finger is a part of my body. It's a part of my body. That's why when it is connected to the body, it is useful. When this finger gets cut off from the body, does it have any use or any value? When the finger is cut off, you'll just throw it away. Right? So, the business of a part is to be connected to the whole. We are the parts of Krishna. So what should we do? We must become connected to Krishna. Unless and until we become connected to Krishna, our existence doesn't really have any utility, doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any purpose. The goal of our existence, the purpose of our existence is to become connected to Krishna. Now that is the goal of life. Now again, how do we understand how to become connected to Krishna? Again, we need somebody to teach us how to become connected to Krishna. Somebody must teach us. So we have to find that person. And if we come across that person who can teach us, we should consider ourselves to be very fortunate. We should consider that. That we are very fortunate that we came across such a person. And very fortunately we have come across such a person, and that is Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada in his books, he gave us all the informations. We are just speaking, whatever we are speaking, at least, how did I get this knowledge? I got this knowledge from Srila Prabhupada. When you speak, you also speak, when you all go out and preach, you speak. Where did you get this knowledge from? Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's books. And this is the authority of our presentation. The authority of our presentation is Prabhupada's books. And they're giving, and Prabhupada also is not concocting something himself. Prabhupada is presenting everything from the basis of the scriptures. On the basis of the scriptures. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada is simply presenting Krishna's wisdom. What Krishna gave, the information that Krishna gave, Prabhupada is giving that. And Prabhupada is giving that in a very special way, just the way Krishna gave. That's why Prabhupada's Gita is Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada is presenting Srimad Bhagavatam with his Bhakti Vedanta purport. We may not understand Srimad Bhagavatam, but Prabhupada is making Bhagavatam simplified. So in this way, Prabhupada has presented things in such a way that anybody can understand it. In this way, Srila Prabhupada has given us a wonderful opportunity. So we must take advantage of this opportunity. Always remember that it's your great good fortune that you came across this wisdom. It's your great good fortune that you have come across Srila Prabhupada's teaching. It's your great good fortune that you have become connected to ISKCON. So please take advantage of that. Don't think that, well, let me just do something and let Hare Krishnas do their own things. No, don't take it like that. Become very, very serious about your spiritual life for your own benefit. Maya will try to test you from time to time. Maya, you know what is Maya's test? Maya's test is in a simple way. Have you become ready to go to Krishna? That is what Maya is always testing. Have you become ready to go to Krishna? And Maya will put various kinds of tests to take us away from Krishna. So don't go away from Krishna. Now that you got this opportunity to go towards Krishna, stick to it and keep moving towards Krishna. Never ever deviate from that. And the process is very simple. You know what is the most important thing in this respect? I'll go step by step. The most important thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The next important thing is to read Prabhupada's books. Then the next important thing is to remain in the association of devotees. Be in the association of devotees. Because if you are not in the association of devotees, it will be very difficult to overcome the onslaughts of Maya, overcome the attacks of Maya. Be in the association of devotees. Association of the devotees means be favorable towards the other devotees. Love the devotees, become their friends, be together, try to serve together. That is the purpose of devotion. Association of devotees means to be favorably disposed to the other devotees. Try to serve them. Don't try to use them. Try to serve them. Because the way to approach Krishna is through a devotee. You know what is the safest way to go to Krishna? Don't try to go to Krishna yourself. Put a devotee in front of you and follow him. That is how you can approach Krishna. If you go yourself, Krishna will say, no way. And then Maya will, before even you hear Krishna saying, no way, Maya will catch you and take you away. That is the danger of trying to approach alone. But follow a devotee. Follow the and more the devotees you have, better for you. They'll not only take you to Krishna, they'll carry you to Krishna. That's the advantage of being in the association of devotees. And at the same time, I can tell you one thing also. When Maya sees, not so much Maya, actually it is Kali, because it's Kali's age. And what is Kali trying to do? Kali is trying to establish adharma. And what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing? Dharma. Jada jada hi dharma se. That's where Krishna comes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing dharma. Kali is trying to establish adharma. So when Kali sees that you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what will Kali do? Won't Kali become afraid? If somebody sees that his enemy is becoming strong, then what will he try to do? He will try to stop that. So when Kali sees that you are trying to go towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serving him in his Sankirtan movement, what will Kali try to do? Kali will try to stop you. And how does Kali stop you? Kali stops you through quarrel. Another name of Kali, you know what is the meaning of the word Kali? Kali means quarrel. Kali means quarrel. Kali will try to spread his influence through quarrel. Look at the whole world. What is happening? There is quarrel. There is fights. There is dissension. There is conflict everywhere. And look, what is Kali doing? Kali is promoting what? Is Kali promoting dharma? Or? Now, what are the symptoms of adharma? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. What is increasing in today's world? All these four sinful activities. So this is a clear indication that Kali's influence is spreading. Now, if you want to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the first thing you do? Of course, you chant Hare Krishna. But then what you do? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So that is what dharma is standing for. Anyway, when Kali sees that you are going towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kali will automatically try to stop you. And how will Kali stop you? Through quarrel. Now let's go even a little further. What causes quarrel? In order to understand that, let's find out whose son is Kali. Kali is a person. Kali is a person. Do you know whose son is Kali? Kali is the son of envy and anger. Hingsha and crowd. These are two personalities. So Kali is the son of anger and envy. So how do Kali spread his influence? Through quarrel. What causes quarrel? Envy and anger. Envy leads to anger, and then there's an explosion. So, in order to overcome that, so whenever we see that there is a possibility of conflict among ourselves, what should we try to do? Should we allow ourselves to become victims of that? We should try to prevent that. We should try to counteract that. So that is how we actually have to overcome the influence of Kali. Now, how do you counteract the influence of Kali? Yes, chanting. But inside, besides the chanting, also there should be tolerance. You tolerate. Anger means what? Anger means no ability to tolerate. We become angry because we can't tolerate it. But if we can tolerate it, then there won't be any anger. The child does so many things. Does the mother get angry? The mother tolerates. Why? Why does the mother tolerate? Now, behind the tolerance, what do we need? Love. So we have to see that our life, our heart is filled with love. That love for Krishna will manifest in the form of tolerance towards other devotees. Now, the question may arise, well, if somebody is acting in such a way, how can I tolerate? The question will be, do you think you're advanced or you're neophyte? Do you think you're neophyte? Yes, if you're neophyte, then you get angry. But if you're advanced, then tolerate. Now, how many of you are advanced here? Very good. Raise your hands. Yes. Therefore, tolerate. The more you can tolerate, more is the sign of your advancement. So in this way, become the soldiers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army. What is our weapon? Do you know what is weapon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, Mahamantra, but what is Mahamantra symbolizing, signifying? Very good, Krishna Prem. Prem. Mahaprabhu's weapon is love. Do you know that verse? Krishna Varnam, Tisha Krishnam, Sangha Panga Astra Parshadam. Astra means weapon. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with a weapon. He came with a weapon. What is his weapon? His weapon is love. So surcharge your heart with love. That is your weapon. With that weapon, you will fight Kali, you will fight Maya, and you will go back to God. So you got this wonderful opportunity. So take advantage of this. It's such a simple process. Just chant Hare Krishna. And, as I said, read Prabhupada's books. Why reading Prabhupada's books are so important? Why reading Prabhupada's books is so important? Because Prabhupada is giving us constant reminder what we should do. Prabhupada is guiding us how to progress. Prabhupada is reminding us about the mission of our goal, our mission of our life. So that is why we need to read Prabhupada's books. You read Prabhupada's books, you will get constant reminder. You'll get constant guidance. And you will see, as a result of that, your heart will become so peaceful. Your heart will become so content, so satisfied. And your heart will become filled with love. Sometimes devotees ask, Maharaj, how do we understand whether you're progressing? My answer is that see what's the condition of your heart. From there you'll understand whether you're progressing or not. Is your heart content? Your heart satisfied? If your heart is satisfied, that means yes, you're on the right path. If your heart is ready to give out the love to everybody around you, then you are advancing. Yes, you have a question?
I've been told that if some person gets angry, he loses his bhakti.
Yes.
Can you tell me something about that? Because sometimes, like a teacher, with children, you need to play angry when they all are, and then, and if you lose bhakti with that, with yoga,
well,
maya,
it depends. You know, as you said, that sometimes the cheat teacher says, like he shows he is angry.
But maybe he's not really.
He is not really angry. Right. Because it's a teacher's duty. He may even get angry because when he sees that the student is not acting properly. Sometimes, you know, we need to show, like if you're a teacher, then you have to show your anger sometimes. Right? To get your students online. But that anger is not going to affect your bhakti. That'll increase your bhakti. Because you're doing it with a responsibility. But otherwise, anger will cause the bhakti to disappear. These are the enemies of bhakti. Lust, greed, anger, illusion, pride and envy. Envy, not only anger, envy is the worst enemy. This is how we have to be careful that our bhakti doesn't, the creeper of devotion doesn't become affected. We have to cultivate the devotional creeper properly. And that is why it is important to remain in the association of devotees. Because if you're in the association of devotees, if something happens, other devotees will help you. Like when you're climbing a mountain, if you have some injury, then Other, what do? They leave you behind and go? No, they carry you. So this is that. This is how the association of devotees will protect us in our progress to a spiritual sky. Okay, is there any other questions? Yes?
How should you react if you see that a devotee is being hurt?
How should you react when you...
You get angry. But...
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, like, try to avoid anger. Because anger agitates the heart, agitates the mind. But you know, heart has to be peaceful to cultivate Krishna consciousness properly. The agitated heart, you know, cannot, just like if the water is turbulent, if the water is not peace, is not placid, can you see the reflection properly in the water? So now, mind you, the mirror of the mind, mirror, it's like a mirror, it's a reflection that reflects. But the problem between a mirror and our mind is cheta, chittya. The mirror is always plain and stable. But our mind is like a pool that has waves, vritti. So if there are waves, can you see the reflection properly? Therefore, in order to see the reflection, the surface of the mind should be very peaceful, blessed. And this lust, greed, anger, what do? They agitate the mind. And as a result of that, you don't see the reflection. So that's why it's important that you keep your mind peaceful. Even if there is reasons for mind to become agitated, control it. Right? Okay, so now go back to your point. What do you do when you see a devotee is being mistreated? Go to the devotee and give all your care, all your concern, all your love. Because he's hurt, he needs it. And that's the time he'll appreciate it the most. But on the other hand, you can do another thing also. You pick up a danda and start fighting with the other person who hurt him. But then what will happen? You'll just keep on fighting. And your main objective will be lost. Hare Krishna, yes? I think you should answer the question because you are a mother. Again, we go back to that. Love. Love is the... Mother sometimes chastises the child also. But that is also done with love. So in the mother's heart for the child is there is only love. Yes.
Sometimes the limit of tolerance seems, you know, just a little bit out of reach.
Okay, look at Mahaprabhu's instruction. Trinadopi Sunichena. He's teaching us the qualification of chanting that we need. The qualification that we need to chant purely. What is the qualification? Trinadopi Sunichena. Taror eva shahishnuna. Tolerant means shahishnu. How tolerant? As like a tree. Tolerant as a tree. An example has been given. You see how tolerant the tree is. Somebody is cutting the tree, but the tree is giving him the shade. In the hot sun, he's cutting the tree and the tree is giving the shade. then he becomes hungry. The tree is offering him the fruit. The tree is not saying, oh, why you? I won't give it to you. You're cutting me, you're hurting me. Why should I give it? No. That is how a Vaishnava must be like. You may hurt me, but still I'll give you whatever you need. And in order to be that, in order to be like that, you have to be more humble than a blade of grass. So this is the way, you know, this is the process. And it'll happen. We don't have to artificially demonstrate something. As we make spiritual advancement, these qualities will automatically manifest. It's a matter of our purification of the heart. It's a matter of our spiritual progress. The more we progress spiritually, all these qualities will become more and more manifest.
Maharaj, I have also a question.
Yes.
All the people are asking about anger, but what I understand from you is the anger is also a Kali, or maybe
Kali, huh? As I said, Kali's father is anger.
Father is Kali.
Father of Kali.
Father of Kali, sorry.
Yeah.
But my question is that the anger is also between husband and wife also. Yes, that's the most important and usual thing we forget to ask you. between husband and wife.
That, you know, that happens, but, you know, that is loving anger. And after 5 minutes, they become peaceful again.
You know, if the husband comes from work and he sees that the wife is shouting and just like that, then and the husband is also anger from two sides is, you know,
yeah, right.
A fire. Just like a fire.
Right. Yeah. So when she becomes angry, you remain cool.
Okay, that's the answer.
Right. I mean, tolerate, you know, like as I was saying, how to overcome anger.
Okay.
Is by tolerance.
But that's the part of the husband that, okay, he tolerate. But the wife should also understand that she must also tolerate it.
Tell her that when she cools down.
Okay.
Because if you tell her at that time when she is angry,
yes,
then she won't be able to understand. She won't react properly.
Okay.
She'll also get angry. She'll get more angry. And you'll also get more angry.
Yes.
So when she gets angry, you stay cool.
Okay, but this is a modern world, eh? Wife, she wants to know, explain it why. And you are telling that, yeah, you must have to shut your mouth and sit it somewhere. And then?
If you speak to her like that, shut up. Then she'll, of course, react in another way. But as I said, I mean, you can, you know, reason with her when she becomes peaceful, right? When her anger subsides, you can tell her that, look, why did you get angry like that? You know, you try to understand, I worked the whole day and I had to go through so much. And I come home to get some peace. And if you behave like that, can you imagine how I feel? So this is how, when you make her understand, then she will understand. And as I said, at the bottom of it, it's all love. It's the love that overcomes all these negative qualities. I mean, not only between husband and wife, it's with everybody, everywhere. That we can, there are so many reasons to be angry. But we have to learn to be tolerant. And if we tolerate, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling the most important instruction is become humble and become tolerant. Hare Krishna.
You gave us some ingredients to develop Krishna prayer by chanting and by taking association of devotees. What if one comes in a situation where the association lacks? There's less association. So the person tends to fall down or get that money or whatever. How should one handle that?
Well, as I said, like, you have to find the association. Now, if you can't find the association, then make the association. You preach to other people around you and create the association of sadhus. Right? The association is most important. If you, without association of devotees, we won't be able to continue with our spiritual life for very long. So you may say, well, I don't have association. My answer to that will be, then go and make that association. Create that association. Preach and make devotees. For your own sake, you have to do it. Yes, you have a question? Humble more than a blade of grass.
He has to be tolerant like a tree. And even when someone is cutting it, you have to give him shade and fruit. But what is the next process? Like if the tree is cut, how will the tree do the Vishnu process?
It's just an analogy. An example we don't take literally. The example is like, and even if you take it literally, then also the answer will be that if somebody cuts you, as you said, if the tree is cut, then how it will become a Krishna devotee? If Krishna sees that the tree is tolerating for his sake, then Krishna himself will come and take him back to Godhead. That's all. The point is, if somebody hurts you, even to the point of death, and if you tolerate him because of your love for Krishna, then Krishna will come and take you back to Godhead. Because whatever you do for the sake of Krishna will never go in vain. Because Krishna is seeing. He is omniscient. He is all-pervading. And as a super soul, he is sitting in everyone's heart. So Krishna knows everything. So we don't have to hide anything from Krishna, or we should never think that, well, Krishna is not watching, Krishna is not seeing. Krishna is seeing everything, and accordingly Krishna will reward you. Especially if you do something for Krishna. Yes.
Can you please tell us about the difference between render service at home and in the temple? Because Srila Prabhupada told us many times to render service, and we have Krishna at home and we are chanting there. And is it then important?
Well, when you are saying, the question is, what should one do, whether one should render service at home or whether one should render service in the temple. And Prabhupada said that one should render service in the temple. Then the third point is, what about rendering service in the office? What about rendering service in your workplace? The most of the time actually goes just rendering service in the workplace, because that's the unfortunate situation of this age. Life has become so complex that you have to have so much money every month, otherwise you can't survive. And the money doesn't fall from the tree. So you have to go and earn it. And to earn the money, you have to work for 10, 12 hours a day. So most of the time is actually going there. So in spite of that, we must try to save some time for Krishna service. So the first preference is chanting your 16 rounds. Chanting is the most important business. Then you can think of other things. Today only I was actually telling some devotees that she came to me and told me that she has the deities of Radha Krishna, she has the deities of Gaur Nithai, and she can't take care of them now. So my answer to that was that that's why we have been telling you again and again, there is no need to have personal deities. You know, you go to Vrindavan and a nice looking deity is costing only 100 euros. You think, oh, it costs only 100 euros. And you just bring the deities, you think that now you've got a toy. The deities are not toys. Deities are Krishna. So you should invite Krishna when you are ready to take care of him. If you are not really able to take care of him, then think about it twice. That's why Prabhupada said that he is setting up the temples, so that everybody can come and accept the render service to deity. And when 25 of you get together and serve, you can serve very nicely. But when you cannot, but if you have the deities at home, then you have the problem. You don't have the time. And now then, you come to a situation when you can't actually take care of the deities. Then what happens? You have the deities, you know? Krishna and Radha and Rani and Krishna came to your house, and you can't, they are starving. Nobody dressing them, nobody bathing them. Would you like that to happen to your child? Never. So who is Krishna? Shouldn't you treat Krishna as your child? Shouldn't you treat Krishna as your friend? Shouldn't you treat Krishna as your husband or your father? Krishna is so dear. Like when you have a relative, when you have somebody who we love, can you treat him or her in such a way that he suffers? Therefore, I would say, as Prabhupada said actually, you know, one thing I can tell you, during Prabhupada's time, very few devotees had personal deities. Now everybody has personal deities. And they're so busy serving their personal deities that the temple is becoming empty. Temples are empty. Yes?
Addition to the question, is it even allowed to have personal deities without being Brahmana initiated?
That's another thing. To serve the deities, you have to be Brahminical, you have to be a Brahmana. Deity worship is for Brahmana. Anyway, that's what I wanted to tell you all. Before you get your deities, be very, very careful. You know, you shouldn't think just about 1 month or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. You should think when you become old or when you die, then what will happen to the deities? Will your children take care of your deities? You have to think about it. In early days it was all right. In India it was because there were joint families, big families, 20, 30 members in one house. And deity worship was no problem. And if one generation, if the father became old, his son took care of the deities. When the son became old, his son took care of the deities. In this way, generation after generation, they took care of the deities. That is why, you must remember, that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew in this age, people won't be able to do the deity worship. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just chant the holy name of the Lord. Is it difficult? No. chant we can, even at the time of death. And that's what we should train ourselves to, so that we can chant the name of the Lord at the time of death. Can you do deity worship at the time of death? Maybe some very advanced devotees can do that in their minds. But not everybody. But chanting is possible for everybody. Yes, Hare Krishna.
In addition to this subject, I thought that one instruction of Srila Prabhupada was also that for neophyte devotees it is advisable to engage in deity worship.
Did Prabhupada say neophyte devotees? I thought deity worship is for the Brahmanas. Prabhupada didn't say neophyte devotees. Prabhupada said in order to get rid of sex desire, you should worship deity. But that's not household deities. Prabhupada meant the temple deities. In the temple.
And when there is no temple available for regular deity worship,
worship deities in the picture. They already dressed. They already bathed. All you have to do is just offer them some bhoga. But the moment you get this regular deities, then it goes into another standard. And especially if you have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deity or Panchatattva deities, Gaur-Nithai deities, you can just chant Hare Krishna. That'll be enough. Mahaprabhu just, if you chant Hare Krishna, he'll be pleased. Any other question? Yes?
My biggest problem is to overcome illusion. I'm aware about the material and spiritual world, and sometimes I just want to enjoy the material world, even when I know it's illusion. So sometimes problem with that.
Yeah, very good, very sincere question. You see, there are three modes in the material nature. Generally, most of the people are influenced by mode of passion. And the mode of passion actually causes this illusion. That means taking the illusion to be real. It's not real. Just like on a movie screen, you see the characters. Are they real? No. But to think that they are real and act according to that will be illusion. Similarly, this is a three-dimensional movie screen. And here we are actually getting involved. And that is the illusion. And it is caused by mode of passion. Therefore, to become situated in knowledge, we have to become situated in knowledge. And it's the mode of goodness that takes us to the platform of knowledge. That's why what we have to do is try to overcome the influence of mode of passion with the mode of goodness. And mode of goodness means knowledge. So therefore you have to study, you have to practice the process that has been given, associate with the devotees, right? And by doing that, you will see gradually you are... when you are in the right association, then everything will become clear. Like, what you will understand what should be done and what should not be done. Right? And another thing is, the body also reacts in a certain way. When the body is young, the influence of mode of passion is strong. But then, as the body grows old, the passion gradually wears out and one becomes situated more in the mode of goodness, provided he is cultivating the process properly. So this is by nature's arrangement, it is there. What to do? Tolerate and practice the process. In one hand, tolerate the onslaughts of Maya, and at the same time practice the process of Krishna consciousness. That's why I was putting the emphasis on reading Prabhupada's books. When you read Prabhupada's books, then you'll be constantly reminded of what is illusion and what is Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Yes? Very good.
Because it's very difficult for us in this kind of time.
Yeah.
To think of Krishna.
So, not that you have to always think directly about Krishna. There's an indirect way of thinking about Krishna. Like, for example, if you're working for Krishna, then whatever you're thinking while working is also thinking for Krishna. An example is, Arjuna is fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Do you think Arjuna was always thinking about Krishna? When his enemies are standing in front of him with an arrow about to be hurled at him? And Arjuna had to think at that time how to counteract that arrow. He was not thinking about Krishna at that time. He was thinking about how to deal with his enemies. Right? But because he was fighting for Krishna, this thinking in the battlefield also was thinking about Krishna. So you work for Krishna, that is, you offer the results of your work to Krishna, that will also be thinking about Krishna, even when you're working. Hare Krishna. Okay, so thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.
Jai.